Jill for that mini cantata, amen. I was her vocal teacher. I taught her everything she knows. And if you believe that, I got a bridge I'd like to sell you here down the road. But no, I couldn't carry a tune in the bucket. If you have your Bibles, open to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. I got permission from Pastor to bring in this today, and we'll talk about that in a moment. And I also got permission from Pastor for a few other things. I'm not trying to change things, just I want you to know ahead of time. I will be preaching, as you know, this morning. And later in the service, since Brother Sam's leading the singing and Brother Rick's not here, I asked him if he wanted me to do the invitation. He said yes. And I asked him if it was okay if my wife plays for the invitation. We're kind of a team. We work good together. She would much rather sing in the choir than play the piano during the service. She loves to sing. But she also could fill in. Miss Marlene does a wonderful job. But just want to let you know what was going on before we get started. Also, a word of warning. I've been told not to apologize, but I'm sorry. I had a deacon to tell me, Brother Cook, never apologize for preaching hard or for preaching too long. I'm sorry. I'm intermittent fasting, and I can't eat until 12:30. I'm just kidding. We should be out of here before then. Not much, but before then. But anyway, I enjoy humor. I still get nervous before I preach. I hope it never stops. It is an awesome responsibility. It really, really is. And so I got permission from all those things, but I didn't get permission for something else. Sometimes it's easier to get forgiveness than it's permission. So Brother Gray, don't be too mad at me, but I'm going to talk about Brother Gray for a moment. Some of you may feel like this has been a little bit of a slow process and going on. I agree. Short of waterboarding, I've been through it all. That was a joke, too. You're supposed to be laughing. I mean, they've called my references, they've done the screening, and they've done all those things. But, you know, I understand. Brother Life and Miss Tina has invested 35-plus years in this ministry. How many of you were ready to hand over the keys to your teenagers the first time they set out to drive? This is a bigger responsibility than a teenager driving a car. It's not as quite as dangerous as one. It's also not as dangerous as Miss Tina getting behind the wheel as well. I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself. Yes, preacher's got jokes. But anyway, it's a big responsibility. And he wants to make sure that the next man coming in and his wife, whether it be me or Miss Michelle, and the church will make a decision when that time comes to vote. I want what God wants for my life as much as I do for the future of Harvest Baptist Church. We want God's will. So please understand that in the process and things that we do, because it's important. Brother Gray and I have talked on the phone. We've broke bread together for a meal with our wives. And we have talked, if you notice, either before and after the service, often in the back of the church, chit-chatting, talking, and getting to know each other a little bit better. And we have a lot of things in common. Hey, I'm from East Tennessee. He's from East Texas. Both have East, both have the letter T. He's tall and handsome, and I'm short and handsome. We both married up. So we have a lot of things in common. But, you know, there may be things that are different, whether it be me or whoever your next pastor is, that may be different. But different is not wrong. Different is just different. I am married to a woman, and God has given us 4 children, 3 of which are women. And I've learned through the years, sometimes when you say different, the radar goes up for you ladies. I don't know why. I still don't understand why. But for us guys, we don't always necessarily think that way. There are differences in things, but it doesn't make one thing right and one thing wrong. One thing I'll promise you, and I'll promise Pastor Gray, we will always take the right position that the church has always taken on the version of the Bible that we use here. Our music will always be uplifting and encouraging and Christ-honoring. And the most important thing that will take place is the preaching of the Word of God and reaching our community for Christ. And in there, I can't put first, second, and last, because all of those things are important. But I believe the very heartbeat of God is missions. I don't have time to preach a bunch of sermons this morning, but I just want to say this. If you go back in your Bibles and you read through the book of Genesis and the fall of Adam and Eve, our Lord knew exactly where they were, but yet he called out, Adam, Adam, where art thou, Adam? I think our Lord was the first missionary. That's the importance of missions. He called out to where they were, even though he knew. But it's a picture, and it shows the need to cry out unto those who need a Savior. Missions should be, it will always be the heartbeat of any church the Lord allows me to pastor. It's so very important. Now, how many of you are already wondering why I have what I have in my hand? 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings, if you're not there, we'll read there in just a moment. How many of you know what this is? Be honest. Okay, help me out. Ignore this part. What is this? Handle. Okay, what is this? Just this part. Axe head. There's about 24 different varieties. I didn't know that. I Googled it and looked on Home Depot and Lowe's. There's a bunch of axe heads. But we're going to read in our story a little bit about axe head. I wanted to bring it in. Now, it's time to tell the truth. Ladies, be honest. How many of you ladies really do not care anything about an axe? Come on, ladies, help me out. Raise your hand. Don't be bashful. Okay, my wife's got her hand. So I brought in another prop that might help somewhere along the service. How many of you ladies know what this is? All right, several. Come on, how many ladies know what this is? Oh, you poor men, your women don't cook. All right, so I think maybe a spatula means a little bit more to some of you ladies, especially in the kitchen. My wife has 100 of these of different sizes, and I like to lick every one of them after she uses it. You men know a little bit more about maybe what this axe head is. Some of you farm girls, especially those who grew up in Alaska, knows exactly what this is and what it's used for. You'll see the word in our passage, fell, and it's referring to chopping down a tree. But I want to kind of give you a visual this morning, let you look at it before we read our verse. And we're going to talk a little bit about God and our needs. You know, right now the church has a need in a transition of a new pastor coming in. We all individually have many other needs in our life on a daily basis. We all have needs. This morning I'm going to talk about a long introduction, once I get started, and then just one point, but you'll have to come back tonight for point two and point three, because I decided to break up the message instead of giving it to you all in one whack. And I'll save my other jokes and other stories for tonight, because I had a few more, but I think time is getting away from me. But I'm going to lay these here and your spatula. All right, 2 Kings chapter number 6. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. 2 Kings 6 and verse number 1. Is there a clock around here anywhere? Oh, there it is. I think so. Y'all are in trouble. All right, there it is. Here we go, verse number 1. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. In other words, too small. Let us go, we pray thee, unto the Jordan, and take every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore, said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. Let's pray. Keep your Bibles open there if you would this morning. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for your goodness to us, the blessings, the joy it is of service. Lord, the joy of laughter, encouragement. But Father, right now, as we say our prayer and get into the message, the most important thing that's going to take place is the preaching of thy word. Father, I ask you to help me. Give me clarity of thought, clarity of mind, and clarity of speech. Father, help me, Lord, to be obedient unto thee, Father, to not be of self in any shape, form, or matter, but be totally yielded to thee. Help those under the sound of my voice this morning to turn out the cares, the concerns of the world and tune in this morning, anticipating, Father, that you have something for them, that I'm just an instrument in your hand for delivering it. Father, have your way in the services, Father, this morning. And that, Father, is anyone here this morning that doesn't know that they know that they know that they're saved and on their way to heaven, may today be their day of salvation. May that Christian who's discouraged and has a need in their life, may they understand and acknowledge that our great God meets needs. Father, bless now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, at first glance, is this passage that we just read. Again, it may appear to be a lot of information for a whole sermon. In fact, you might be thinking, what can I get out of this passage? That's why I brought the spatula to make a little better visual for you ladies. I think it applies in the same area, and we'll get to that in a moment. But let me make it a little more interesting. To an Israelite during this time, to buy or own an axe head weighing anywhere from 1 to 6 pounds, depending on the need, would be equivalent of purchasing a new car today. because of supplies and demand and the need for someone that could even work with metal and iron. So it was very expensive, thus the young student saying, alas, it was borrowed. He was greatly concerned. Still, maybe some of you may be thinking as to why would God include this story in the Bible? How can this story help me? How can this story inspire me? Why would God include an everyday situation here in this chapter? Let me ask this morning, have you ever lost anything in your home or around the yard and couldn't find it? No matter how little it was, no matter how big it was, at that time it was an urgent need, and it was for this young student. As frustrating as it was, it probably didn't seem worthy of a whole sermon. Now, I use a whole lot of life illustrations. My kids, my grandkids, my wife, and if I'm around here very long, maybe even some of you, I might hide the names to protect those who illustrate or help me. But needless to say, as you look at this story, you would think, where's the sermon? What are we going to get out of this? Then again, we must remember that as frustrating as losing something may not have seemed worthy of a whole sermon, we need to remember that our God is really interested in the details of our everyday life. He is interested in those things. Somehow axe heads, somehow spatulas really matter to God. Not just any axe head, but your axe head matters to God. That thing in your life that may be missing, that thing in your life that may be changed, that thing in your life that you may have lost or misplaced, those daily activities that we have matters to a holy, sovereign, omniscient God because he loves us and cares for us. You might not know the difference, as I mentioned, about the different types of axe heads. That's why I bought the spatula for a visual for our ladies. But anything, again, equivalent to an axe head that you might have matters to God. And that's what God wants you to know. I remember some years ago going through my yard on my hands and knees, and my neighbors probably thinking I was crazy because of a tool that my son borrowed and did not return. And I was getting ready to mow the lawn, and I knew I'd find it with a lawnmower. But it was still important that I find it. And God, again, is concerned about our needs. Anything, again, equivalent to an axe head to you is important to God. Let's look back at our text. And our Father wants us to know this. I'm going to continue with my introduction. We're going to go verse by verse and look at a few things with the story. And I'll share a point with you and we'll finish up a couple points tonight. Notice verse 1. And the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is straight for us. Too straight for us. See, the sons of prophets are basically prophets in training. They came to Elisha the prophet saying that there's too many of us and the place that we dwell is just too small. This is a good thing, dear friends, because many young men were giving their life to be trained for the ministry. Oh, what a need that we have for that today. Just in passing before I go on, let me remind you, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers. We need to be willing to give our children, our grandchildren, and others in our family back to God and say, God, use them. Because right now in our country, before COVID, it's even worse now, 2,000 churches of like faith were closing their doors every year. Hundreds of churches across America right now are without a pastor. I don't have all the details, but even a church right here in your community, right down the road, closed their doors last Sunday. I found out just by, well, the Lord revealed it to me, and I'll share more about that later. There's great needs for men and young women to give their life in the ministry, and of course, young men to preach the gospel. So, one of the prophets in training goes to Elisha. He says, verse 2, after realizing it's a little crowded, we need more room. He said, let us go, we pray thee, unto the Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. So here Elisha says, that is a good idea. Maybe even mumbled something about, I'm tired of living with all of you anyway. We need a little more room. So he says, let's go down by the Jordan and build a new dormitory for all of you. Verse 3, and one said, let's pause there for a moment. Keep in mind that we do not know which one said this. It could have been the smartest one. It could have been the one always asking all the questions. Yes, Brother Christian, it could have been the one always asking all the questions. It could have been the insecure one that wanted to be close to Elijah. We have no idea, but just one of them asked a question. Notice what he says. He says, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. Now, Elisha could have said, no, I'm too busy, and I need some time and space away from all of y'all. He could have said, go and I will join you later. Notice what he says again here as we continue. And he answered, I will go. See, if it was me, I would have said, and some of you, are we going to eat? Everything's turned around the Baptist church around food, isn't it? But needless to say, Elisha said, I will go. Verse 4. So we went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling, a beam, the axe head, fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. Basically, what he was saying is, if I don't get that axe head, I'm going to owe this guy a car. It's not mine. There was no insurance on it. It could not be replaced easily. He says, I can't afford that. I'm going to be a servant forever. He was in big trouble. It's not like today, during those times, and I don't like to say Bible times, dear friends, because we read our Bible, we're in Bible times. But during that time, that value meant because he could not pay it back, he would be a slave until that owner, until it was repaid. He had more things he needed to worry about. He needed to worry about being in school, to being trained for a prophet. He was greatly, greatly concerned. In verse 6, and the son of God said, and the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Now, stop there. If you got a pencil and you got a pen and you're one that writes in your Bible or makes notes, write this down in your margin. Miracle. Explanation point. Iron doesn't swim. Iron doesn't swim. Yet, without a doubt, it is a miracle without any reservation if you believe the word of God. And if you haven't noticed it yet, the Bible says that it's floating on the water. Verse 7. Therefore he said, take it up unto thee. And he put out his hand and took it. Now, if it had been me and my axe, it would have been halfway across the Jordan. But there it was. It not only floated to the top, close enough where he can reach out and that he could take it. See, that's the whole story. Didn't that bless you? But you know, if we look a little closer, we look a little further, and we apply a few rules of hermeneutics. So hang on. Let me teach you something about biblical hermeneutics. Take it literally wherever you can. Don't make something out of it if it's not there. In other words, keep it simple. It is what it is. Let me share with you three rules of hermeneutics and we'll go on with our message. Number one, don't try to rationalize it. Don't try to rationalize it. Some commentaries might try to say, oh, it's just a legend. He lost his axe head and Elijah poked around in the water with a handle and found it. Dear friends, I don't know about you. If that's what you want to believe, that's fine, but it's not what the Bible says. See, we have too many problems today with seminaries and schools that are teaching this story, Moses and the parting of the Red Sea, and even Noah there with him being swallowed, Jonah, as just a story. I believe the Bible the way it's written. I accept it exactly for what it says. I don't need to read into it. I don't need to rationalize it. I'm just going to believe it, and I'm going to remind myself to keep it simple and that it is what it is. So don't rationalize it. Number two, don't allegorize it. See, the axe head represents the soul of man. And the Jordan represents the sinful world. And the stick thrown in the water represents the cross. And God reaching down to man and lifting him out. Way too complicated. Really, really way too complicated. Don't try to rationalize it. Don't try to allegorize it. And then thirdly, don't try to moralize it. Here's a good lesson for us. Don't borrow your neighbor's axe. Hardly worth the exit, even worth the effort, even coming to church this morning just to get that. In other words, quit borrowing things from people because you might lose them and have to pay a large sum of money unless you hang out with a prophet who can find it. You know, there's more to it than that. Don't rationalize, don't allegorize, and don't moralize. That is not the moral of the story. What's our rule of hermeneutics? Keep it simple. There's not a rational explanation. There's not an allegorical explanation or a moral explanation. However, there is a spiritual truth, and here it is. You ready? God meets needs. God meets needs. Isn't that a much better application when we look at the story? So we're going to go a little further and discuss that aspect of God meeting needs. See, God is so into meeting needs that there's a place in the Bible, in Philippians 4:19, where the Lord says, Bible said, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That promise was given to not every Christian. It was given to the missions-minded church as God seemed and deemed necessary. God is literally into meeting people's needs. And when you put the first six chapters here of 2 Kings through verse 7 of chapter 6 into context, it reveals that he is a miracle-working God. We've all seen the miracles. We've not only read about them, but some of us have seen a few miracles that only God could have done. And sometimes we may not have even spoken up. Sometimes we may not have even shared it, the testimony. I don't know why, but folks, bragging on God is a good thing. It's a form of worship. And I'm sure this young man was elated when that axe head floated to the surface and he picked it up. Dear friends, well, to seek him who meets needs and works miracles. We should follow hard after him, as the psalmist refers to the hart or the deer that panteth after the Lord, knowing that God is the source of all of our needs. I'm going to give you three thoughts, one this morning and the other two tonight. So you got to come back to hear the other two. Number one, God is compassionate enough to meet our most basic needs. God is compassionate enough to meet our most basic needs. See, keep in mind that there's not a famine going on right now in the land. There's nothing going on, no wars in the Middle East yet. There is not an economical crisis going on other than a shortage of iron and metal. There is just an axe head in the river. Warren Wiersbe said this, God is certainly interested in the personal needs of his people, even those little matters that so often burden our hearts. And dear friends, I really enjoy studying and preparing and preaching and teaching the Word of God. I enjoy at times sitting and going to some of the grocery stores, sometimes just observing people. If I can't help it, if I'm going in just to get a gallon of milk and I come back, my wife looks and says, you've been gone an hour and a half for a gallon of milk? And the next question is, how many friends did you make? I've never met a stranger, or at least not too long. I enjoy talking to people. But we must understand and realize that if God has a desire to meet our most basic need, one of our most basic needs as mankind, as a demand of our Lord, is to go into the world and preach the gospel. We have a need within our heart that we should share our belief in Christ, to share our walk and testimony with the Lord. Again, I really enjoy studying and preparing for the preaching. I get excited when God teaches me something and I get to share it with you. Let me share something with you this morning that God taught me. God's greatness is not necessarily connected with God's bigness. Let me say that again, and I'll try to illustrate it. God's greatness is not necessarily connected with God's bigness. See, though we serve a big and awesome God, and though he can perform and does great miracles, there's also sometimes our big God does just the little things that are important to us. Just the little things that may not mean nothing to anyone else, but to me personally or to you. He is a vast God who meets needs no matter how big or how small. See, it's easy to get caught up in worshiping God through singing and praising him for his goodness to his people and to meditate on his holiness, greatness, and power. Those are good things, but be careful because it's easy to allow the thought that greatness equals bigness slip into our minds. Sometimes greatness has a quality that has nothing at all to do with bigness. God meets needs. In fact, greatness can often be contained in the very smallest detail, our basic needs. God is compassionate enough to meet our most basic needs. Many of us must be honest. There are those who have less than others. There are those that do without. There are those that sometimes it seems like they have an abundance. And I've learned a long time ago that God will give me exactly what he can trust me with. and therefore I shall be content in that which I have. And I want to do all I can to share and be a blessing to others. But our most greatest basic need for mankind is a walk in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We that are already saved and know the Lord, we're now ready for the gravy on top of God meeting our other basic needs in our life, because we've got the most important one down. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you don't know that you know that you know that you're on your way to heaven, why not today trust Christ as your personal Savior, your first basic need? So basically, this morning, my message is mainly to and covers, or I'm talking to, believers. Beyond our salvation, God meets our most basic needs that we have. The story points out that we have a God who is vast and stupendous. He's majestic and beyond our ability to even comprehend. You see, dear friends, our God, our Heavenly Father, is capable of doing anything for us. God cares about the little burdens of our hearts. Let's be honest. Come on now. How many of us have some basic needs that maybe you haven't even shared with anyone but your spouse? I know my hand's up. Sometimes it's just on a prayer list. Sometimes it's just shared with our spouse. Sometimes we might even allow Satan to deceive us and us to think, well, that's just too little for God to deal with. No, God already knows. And God wants to meet our most basic needs. We'll talk a little more tonight about some other areas, but I'm going to go a little bit further here this morning. No matter how basic your need is, our God cares. Our God cares, and He wants to provide. And so often I think we do without. So often I think we struggle because we don't even ask. Dear friend, God cares about your checkbooks. He cares about the lost coin. He cares about the lost sheep. He cares about the lost boy. He cares about food and shelter and clothing and height. And gentlemen, even hair. He cares. And the Bible is very clear about that. What a God. Think about it. What a mighty God that we serve. What a God that would be concerned about how many hairs on my head as He would about the potential conflict in another part of the world. I'm going to tell it myself. My sister-in-law does not like to cut my hair. And one day I figured it out. I cornered her as my wife's sister, Sharon. And she was honest with me, and she told me, look me in the eye, and preacher, this hurt. She said, Doug, you're a little bit vain about your hair. You know what? She was right. Now she cuts my hair. Now my daughter cuts my hair. Man, I save about $20 a week. I get my hair cut almost every week just because I can. And I get to talk to my daughter while she's doing it. Under COVID, I got COVID really bad once. Got it a mild case the second time. But the first time I got COVID is really, really got me, preacher, is I woke up and I went to the bathroom. I was rubbing my head and it was full of hair. I began losing my hair. My cousin lost so much hair, she shaved her head and bought a wig. Different side effects for different people. And my hair began to get thin. It still is up here. I got a whole bunch back here in the back of my head. Thick scold. But I said all that to say this. Even that little thing, I looked up and I looked in the mirror and I said, oh, Lord, please not my hair. Remember, I'm vain, so it's a big thing to me. But anything, even the little things, God cares about. And God is concerned about. And so often we may not even think or think it's worthy even talking to our Lord. But He cares. What a God. What a God that would be concerned about how many hairs on my head. As He would about, the potential conflicts in another part of the Lord. Isn't He a great God? Hey, man, come on now, talk to me. Isn't He wonderful? When's the last time you just sat back, stood up, and just had a spell, as we used to say growing up? Just got excited about what God was doing. Now, other places that we lived, there was a time I was the talk of the town because people thought I was crazy. Because I get out in the yard and I enjoy yard work, and now these desert Arizona no maintenance lawns means rocks. I'm going to have to find another outlet for my stress relief. But I get out in the yard and I'm throwing my hands up and I'm talking, I'm pushing the mower and I'm walking behind it. I might push a little hard, throw up my hands. I'm talking to the Lord. In fact, sometimes I'm even arguing with the Lord. You know what? I lose every single time. I have yet to learn to cut to the chase and just give in. Sometimes you just don't want to let go. But that's because we're human. We are human. We are going to err at times. And I think it's good for us sometimes to spill our guts and talk to the Lord and let him know that you're concerned. How is he going to work it out? In other words, we worry. And that's a whole nother message. But God is into meeting needs. Isn't he a great God? See, we don't have to go there this morning. But write down these two references and you can read them later. Matthew chapter 6 and Luke chapter 12. Matthew 6 and Luke chapter number 12. Repeatedly in the book of Matthew chapter 6 and in Luke 12, we are told this phrase, take no thought. Take no thought. Take no thought. Take no thought. Don't even think about it. Don't think about where your food is going to come from or where your clothing is going to come from. Take no thought. God clothes the lilies of the field. He feeds the sparrows when pastor's not doing it. He takes care of the needs. Don't even think about your height or stature. The very hairs of your head are numbered by God. In fact, he tells us in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Have a need, no matter how big or how small. Have something that's important to you. Are you seeking God? Are you seeking his righteousness? Are you following after the Lord? Because sometimes God has a way of not meeting that need that we think we have, but just showing us that we really don't need what we think we need. Amen? Because sometimes it's just something we really want and not necessarily something we need, but it's that relationship and seeking him that shows us that path. Here's another great verse in Psalm 84 and verse number 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Think about that. God knows and God cares enough to meet our most basic need. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ, that is your first need. If you're here this morning, you have trusted Christ, and maybe your walk isn't the way it should be. Maybe it hasn't been as strong or as healthy or spiritually as it has been in the past. And maybe you need to step that up and say, Lord, help me, because my most basic need after salvation is a better, closer, more effective walk with you. Because my walk will point others to Jesus. My walk will encourage other believers. My testimony will make a difference in my life that my light might shine before men that they may know you. Our most basic need before salvation is salvation. But some of our most basic needs after salvation comes in many forms. As many as there are people in this world. And God desires to meet those needs. Michelle, if you'll make your way to the piano. I want to encourage you today to think about this, to meditate and think about the basic needs in your life and how God has met them. Maybe even think about the basic needs of someone else that you know has asked as a request that you might pray and encourage them. But tonight, I want to talk a little bit about God is powerful enough to meet your emergency needs. God is wise enough to meet our future needs. But you'll have to come back for that tonight. But I'd like you to ask if you would join me for a moment, if you would stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed. No, it might be a little bit different, but remember, different is not right or wrong. It's just different. Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. Michelle's going to begin to play the piano softly. And as she plays this morning, if God has spoken to your heart in any way, please, if you would, just nobody looking around, I might ask a few questions. I might want to pray for you in some areas. But I want to ask you simply this morning, if you're here today, and the most basic need in your life is salvation, and you've never trusted him as your Savior, would you just lift your hand up? No one's looking. Allow me to pray for you. I will not come to you. I will not pull you aside. I just want to pray for you. I will not use your name. But you say, preacher, pray for me. My most basic need is salvation. By looking around this auditorium, I can praise the Lord and say, no one has raised their hand. That's a good thing. But I'll trust and pray in the years to come that we'll see some hands go up. We'll see some hands when people come to know the Lord. If you're here this morning, you've trusted Christ as your Savior, I don't need to know. But maybe you just slip your hand up and down and say, preacher, thank you for the message. I do have a need, and I'm trusting my God to meet it. Anyone like that at all? Slip your hand up and down. I see those hands, several hands across the auditorium. God knows those needs. So as I begin to pray, as our pianist plays, if God speaks to your heart, you'd like to come to an altar and pray. Pray where you stand, but you do what God tells you to do. Father, bless this time of invitation. Spirit of God, please have your will and way in the life of your people. May we each respond according to the Spirit of God and according to our needs this morning. And we'll be careful to thank you and praise you for it. With heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed, our piano is played. Preacher Miss Tina is here at the altar praying. Others may want to come and join them or pray. But if God has spoken to your heart, right now is the time to come forward and just pray and spend a season with our Lord. Others may need to, whether it's here at an altar or where you sit. My biggest concern is not where, but that you are praying and giving thanks to God. Just a moment or two as the Lord works in the hearts and lives of those around you and those here at the altar, that we'd all each be obedient unto the Lord. And remember, God meets our most basic needs. God in your needs this morning, are you giving them unto the Lord? If all hearts and minds are clear, we'll close a public invitation. Just real quick before we dismiss, just remember tonight, evening service at 6 o'clock, no choir practice, but tonight, God is powerful enough to meet our emergency needs, and God is wise enough to meet our future needs. And that's such a privilege. Again, thank you, Pastor, for entrusting me this morning. Pulpit committee, thank you. I know I've joked a bit about that, but in all sincerity, I appreciate that it is an awesome responsibility. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Remember, tonight, 6 o'clock, back in your place. If you're providentially hindered and cannot be here, I understand that, and so does our Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Father, we love you again. We thank you for the privilege of being here today. Father, we pray that we have learned and gleaned something from the Scriptures that we might help us to remember and always realize that we serve a loving God who meets our most basic needs. Father, thank you for the need that I had as a young boy in coming to know Christ as my personal Savior. Father, since trusting you, and Lord, the next need that I had in my life was to follow the Lord in believer's baptism and then surrender my life to preach the gospel. And then since then, many other little needs that came up in my life, Father, that you've met. Some of those you've helped me to understand that they really weren't needs. But Lord, either way, I'm so grateful for the lesson or for the provision. Now, Father, bless us as we dismiss. May you be uplifted and glorified in our conversation and time of fellowship. And may you bring us back safely tonight. For we ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.